Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I welcome you in the name of the risen Christ. And Brian is out on a preaching mission this morning. So I'm solo. You're stuck with me. We've got a lot of support over here from the musicians and a lot from out here in the congregation. And we shall worship together. And it is the job of the congregation to worship God. And the job of the pastor and other leaders to lead that worship. So you get to do the work this morning. I have a few things to tell you, actually, several in fact. I wanted you to know that the flowers today are given by Annette Taggart in memory of Bill and by Jim Swart in memory of Jan. Sweet story there. I wanted to tell you that there is the sunrise service will be in our gathering area outside this room, kind of out in the foyer there, and that will be at 6:30, 2 weeks from today on Easter Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. It's going to be led by our youth, and it should be a precious service that will honor the resurrected Lord at the break of day on Easter Sunday. So I encourage you to come if you can and to be here at 6:30. Don't let that keep you from coming later in the day. We will have our normal 8:45 and 10:50 services, and we'll look forward to worshiping together maybe more than once that day. I invite you to think, who will you invite for Easter? It's obvious, if you think about it, that people come to church on Christmas and Easter and when school starts more than any other times. Those are the three big ones. And so this is a chance to ask, if you have a neighbor you've been thinking about inviting, or friend or coworker, invite them because they are more liable to accept your invitation for Easter Sunday when they're probably already thinking about church and when they know they can be lost in a crowd, but not lost here. If you've been participating in the church directory, I thank you, and we wanted that book to be as complete as possible. There's still time to get in a submitted photograph if you have one. If you don't, come by the church. We'll take one. We'll put that in there. We want it to be as complete as it can be. You may have a picture of your family that you'd like to share, and we'd like to have everyone possible in the book. We want it complete. Prayer Shawl starts tomorrow at 9:30, and I know some of you are involved in that and treasure the work that you share. Also, tomorrow, Connect Grow meets, and anyone's welcome to come to these meetings. Administrative Council on Tuesday at 6:30. Just to tell you, Brian is preaching on in another congregation this morning. You know that. But today we do get to come to the Lord's table, and all are welcome. And I hope you will come and receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, the gift of the very presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With all those announcements and a hearty welcome, let us begin our worship. Please rise and let us share together in affirming our faith. Number 883 in our hymnal, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada, which includes Methodists, by the way. It is a united church there. Let us share together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Number 399 is our hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. Tyler? We're standing, let us pass the peace of Christ. And while we are doing that, Michelle and Amy will come down for our mission moment. Please greet one another with a hearty welcome and a peace of Christ to be with you.
Good morning. I'm Amy, and I'm the chair of the serve team here at church, and we are in the middle of our Lenten offering. And we've had, a few weeks ago, we had some representatives from CareVide, or the school system rather, who are partnering with CareVide for this school clinic. And today we have Michelle Lee here, and she is the center director for the Rafa Clinic in Greenville. She's going to share with us about the things that Rafa does and the things that we can do to help.
Good morning. Again, my name is Michelle Lee, and I'm the center director. I think they told me I had like 5 minutes, so what I've learned as far as church is concerned, you be specific, you be brief, and you be seated. So I'm going to try to do that for you guys this morning. At Rafa, of course, all of our services are at no cost. So we do everything from pregnancy tests to a limited ultrasound. We do materials assistance. We have pregnancy classes. We have parenting classes. And guess what? We even have classes for dads, because we feel like you can't work on one side of the equation and not the other side without, and that helps balance it out. So we created a lot of things. We even have what we call the man cave, because we learned that men don't like to sit on couches with each other. So they have to have the big cushiony chairs and whatnot. A lot of the things that we do at Rafa, I will be honest, we see a lot of CPS people. And what we learned is a lot of times you don't know the difference between a salad fork and a dinner fork until somebody tells you. So a lot of times people don't understand how to discipline. People don't understand how to parent. I don't care if you are married, you're still co-parenting. And so we try to teach those skills to people. The other thing that we do at Rafa that a lot of people don't realize is in being in a rural area, transportation can be an issue. And so what we've done is we've partnered with The Connection, and we will pay for somebody to come from Commerce, Quinlan, wherever it is, to see our services, whether that's the pregnancy, whether that's classes, any reason that they need to come to Rafa, we will help. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few years ago, we had a clinic here in Commerce right by the school. We thought that was the best idea. Turned out not to be the best idea, because most people would rather still come to Greenville than be seen going to our, you know, to our clinic right across the street. At one time, we had one opened in Quinlan, and that's because one of our clients literally walked from Quinlan to Greenville to get services, and we said that shouldn't happen. But with Quinlan only being like 1,400 people, it really didn't serve. So that's when, we partner with The Connection to provide some of the services. I don't know if you guys know this, but we do things like we ask a person, are you sleeping in the same bed with your baby? A lot of people think that that's a good idea. Actually, bed sharing is a horrible idea. You can co-sleep having the baby sleep in your room, but not in the same bed with you. And so what we do, thanks to Amazon, if we find out that a parent is sleeping in the bed with their child or the child is sleeping in the bed, we will actually send them a pack and play to their home just to keep that from happening. I don't know how many of you know Theresa, who's our executive director, but she's on the infant fatality committee in Hunt County. And there have been a lot of babies who have passed simply because the parent thought that they were doing the right thing by having the baby rest on their chest. And then the next thing you know, parent is asleep, baby is asleep, and the baby slides off, and next thing you know, the baby's in the crevice of the couch. So we're trying to do whatever we can to, you know, keep those types of things from happening. We give away diapers. We give away wipes. So for every class that a person attends, they automatically get diapers, they get wipes. And then we've got other incentives based on the age of the child. And then we have the baby boutique. I don't know if you've ever seen our baby boutique, but our baby boutique is from zero to now, I think it's 40. Because we learned that even though a kid is 2 years old, sometimes they're a little bigger than a 24-month-old. Kids are just heavier kids nowadays, so we've extended that out to 4T. We are always needing volunteers, always, because we always feel like we can't do things ourselves, so we try to have other people be the hands of God. And usually everybody has a talent. You know, and some people say, I don't want to work with kids. I'd rather, you know, pack diapers. I'd rather work in the baby boutique. I'd rather put pregnancy packs together. There is always something that a volunteer can do. And if that doesn't do it for you, The thing that you can do is always pray for us. Thank you.
More? Okay. Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Amy. And now it's time for us to dedicate all that we give, all that we have and are as a gift already from God, a portion of which we return as our act of praise, our worship, our offering. So as the ushers come to collect up and present these gifts at the altar, let us pray. God, we pray your blessing upon the gifts and the givers. We pray that you take what is offered and bless it and multiply it and to make it good so that your work in this place through your kingdom can thrive and flourish. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus. You may not even need the book for that one, but it's 170 if you do. Let's sing.
Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus.
As we begin to think about our prayers, we have some that I'd like to share with you. You can refer to the list in your bulletin. I have some that are not in there, I believe, but we want to remember our prayers for Alan and Betty Martin. Alan has gone on hospice care, and they're accepting that very well, and he's good-natured, and I've seen them a couple of times, but I wanted to let you know that. And Tom Dudley has ongoing treatments for cancer and is struggling some with that. He's smiling all the time, but I know that it's not an easy journey. I'd like to also ask you to pray with us about our children's ministry. As we search for a director, as you may know by now, Shelley Oates has resigned, and we are conducting a search for a new leader for our children's ministry programs, and we seek to make that the very best that it can possibly be, continuing in Shelley's tradition and taking it further. We want to remember Sally Grove and David and Kathy Giles as they continue to recover from a terrible car wreck, and for Nell Brown and Jim as he helps her to be healthy. No doubt there are other prayers on your heart and in your minds, and you can certainly lift those as we pray together. We are graceful people and grace-filled people to be able to share our prayers and to lift our prayers together to Almighty God, who promises that when we pray together, we are not alone. So let us begin our prayer in silence. Holy God, you are the one who holds us up. You are the one who holds us together. For we have our unity in you. Even as Jesus held hands around the table at that Last Supper so long ago, we hold hands, at least in our hearts, here this morning as we sit side by side and worship you. God, we thank you and love you, and thank you so dearly for loving us in Jesus. We thank you for the gift of his grace-filled love, the moments of suffering and the moments of joy that were the price of that grace. God, as we gather here this morning, we do so not arrogantly or out of a sense of worthiness, but out of a sense of following in your footsteps, even all the way to the cross. For each of us have our own crosses to bear and our own challenges, our own worries, our own kids, our own aging parents. We have our challenges, and we have our hope, because the entire hope of the Lenten season rests in the very arms and on the very head of Jesus. As he goes on his journey to the cross, he knew full well what he was doing and went on anyway. When most of us, or possibly all of us, would have turned back and given in, given up, Jesus gave forward. Oh God, we give you thanks for his unending love, for your unending love that is expressed so fully in Jesus' gift. Oh Lord, we pray for these whom we have named and lift them in these moments before you. Those whom we have named and those whom we name in our hearts now, those needs or moments or situations or fears or dreads or joys, we lift together to you. For our own church family, we dare to pray and ask you to help us be inspired and to help us live in your light and in your tempo, in your footsteps this Lent and beyond. Teach us who we can invite, who we can share with, who we can take steps with on a journey of faith or a journey of suffering or a brand new journey of hope that shines like the sun after Easter. God bless our youth as we prepare them and as we prepare to hear them and the witness of faith that they will share on Easter morning in that earliest service when we face into the sunrise. Oh Lord, help us to head our faces into the wind and into the sun to be able to reflect your wind and your grace, the light of your resurrection and hope. God, as we take these remaining steps through Lent, help us to prepare our hearts on our knees to bind up our burdens so that we may lay them at your feet, so that we may be ready to receive the joys of Easter morning and experience the ecstasy of hope and of resurrection hope that is all about what we celebrate. God, place on the hearts of each one of us someone that we can invite. Bring across our paths someone to say, "Do you have a church home? If you don't, come join us on Easter." And let us share together in all of us together being a new creation. Not just something old or something ragged, but something shiny and something new. For Easter, not about what we wear, but about the light and the life that is reflected in our faces and in our hearts, in our spirits, in our congregation. These are our prayers, O Lord, and more that you have heard us pray in silence. And now, we make this prayer together, and we leave it at your feet in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And let all God's people say together,
scripture today from the Old Testament is Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21. It's on page 632 of your pew Bibles. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of God for the people of God.
That was beautiful. Thank you. I'd like to invite your attention to the front cover of our bulletin. It's a black and white picture. I wish it had been in color. It's a beautiful picture. That's what our theme is today, and our staff, Bonnie especially, does a great job of finding things that are appropriate for the cover. This is Mary in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and anointing his feet and wiping them with her hair. That's our scripture story for today. What a beautiful, sweet story. I'd like for you to freeze this image in your mind, but look across the table there at the other two, and I don't know which two those guys are, but I think one of them has his cell phone out and the other one's leaning over his shoulder looking at it. Not quite sure what that's about, but maybe that little funny bit will help you to remember this picture and the beauty of Jesus receiving such a gift, such a generous personal gift from Mary. So I'd like to read that passage. It's John 12. John 12, verses 1 through 8. And let us hear these words and in them listen for the word of the Lord. The sermon will be a little briefer today since we are going to come to the table for the sacrament of Holy Communion. And remember that everyone is welcome when that time comes in the service. John 12, 1 through 8. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet with it, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and he used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought that so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me, says the Lord." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus had friends. Of course, we like to say Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We even sing about that. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? And those are great hymns. But in addition to being a friend, Jesus has friends. So according to the fourth gospel, Jesus was very close to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who lived in Bethany. Jesus came to their home. He'd probably been there many times, but on this occasion, he came just a few days before he died. He needed rest, don't you think? And to gather strength for what was approaching, for the struggle and the suffering that were just around the corner. It hadn't been but a few days since Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So these three, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, were not only a family, They were tight with Jesus right now because of that great miracle. They had reason to be thankful, especially so. But Judas wasn't buying into all of that. Seems that Mary and Martha and Lazarus knew that Jesus was coming. Perhaps they had invited him and the disciples. But this evening in Bethany, they gave a dinner for him and the disciples. But that dinner was not the main course. Martha served. Lazarus was at the table with him. But Mary's gift was the most unique and the most fragrant you can imagine. That pure nard, the fragrance, the frequency of it wafting through the room. Now let's remember that Jesus' mother was also a Mary. There's several Marys in the New Testament. You know the Christmas story, Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. Also, there was Mary Magdalene from the town of, you guessed it, Magdala, right there on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. She is the one who was often with the Lord, and she was the one who came to anoint his body in the tomb and found him risen and calling her by name on Easter morning. Right there in the burial garden, near the place of the skull where Jesus had suffered and died. This Mary seems to have been a different Mary. But Jesus came to the home of another Mary and Martha and Lazarus many times. Scripture's a little ambiguous about these Marys. It could have been the same, but I don't think so. But on this occasion, Martha was buzzing around, getting the dinner ready, and perhaps Martha was jealous that Mary was spending that special time with Jesus sitting at his feet. This Mary's purpose was to honor him and treat him as the special friend and honored guest that he was and is. Washing feet is important. In those days, it was especially important when they wore sandals and they walked in the sand and dirt everywhere they went. The climate was dry, the roads were dusty, and no doubt their feet hurt, even Jesus's. It was a welcome gift of hospitality and also an intimate gift. Perhaps Martha was a bit jealous as she finished setting the table and warming the rolls. Judas was not impressed with any of it. Why was this expensive perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? And then we have John's parenthesis that Judas used to steal from the pockets, from the purse. Judas said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and he used to steal what was in it. Sometimes he was practical and apparently dishonest. He was more concerned with the cost of the gift than he was the generosity of the giver, of Mary on her knees anointing Jesus' feet. How do you treat Jesus special? How do you wash his feet? It is a universal image of serving. Maybe you're not comfortable with washing someone else's feet, but how do you serve? How do you serve? Mary served him with being on her knees and with sweet-smelling nard, costly perfume. But the aroma of the perfume was not just for Jesus. It filled the entire house. It was invested, shall we say, like watering a garden that hasn't even sprouted yet. Watering the ground may seem like a waste of time at first until the grass grows and begins to turn green. Regarding Mary's fragrant and intimate gift, well, Judas was more concerned about the cost of the gift than the generosity of the giver. John tells us that when Mary broke open that costly perfume with its dramatic fragrance in the otherwise dry and dusty climate, that the house was filled with its fragrance, the fragrance of that perfume. Mary's humble attention to the Lord wasn't just for him. It was for him and for them and for us. It was for all in the house who would take a part in falling at the feet of Jesus, to praying him, to showering him with love and fragrance. And the best part is, Jesus defended her. He knew that the day of his burial was near, and Jesus treasured Mary's precious gift. Let us each figure what our gift can be to the Lord crucified and living. Amen. I invite you to page 12 in our hymnal, and let us share together the prayers and the words of liturgy for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him, who earnestly repent of our sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and each other. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear now the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise now your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and dying, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, He took bread. And giving thanks, he broke the bread and said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken and given for you. Do this in remembrance of me," he said. And after supper, Jesus took the cup, again giving thanks. And he gave it to his disciples and said to them and to us, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts and your precious gift, in Jesus Christ, we now offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his precious blood. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the prayer of our Lord, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are invited to come to the table. Come as you are, and everyone is welcome. Let us fill this table and feast on the very life of Jesus, our Lord and Messiah. So let us pray together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength and power of your Holy Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. If today is a time for you to trust Christ in a new way, or to join this congregation, or to renew or refresh your faith in some way, I would love to share a moment with you. You could come as we prepare to sing number 424. Or if today's the day for you to join this congregation, we have a place for you and would welcome you. Let us rise as we sing together the first and last of Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone. Live in the life that is given at this table to nourish and nurture our lives and our living. Let us live in the risen light of Christ our Lord. In addition, let us go from this place and grow in His grace and glow with His face, the face of Christ. Amen.